he's one of the most renowned Latin jazz band leaders of the last century. Ten-time Grammy Award-winning Eddie Palmieri is a composer, a pianist, and a jazz master who's performed all around the world. This month, he celebrates his 87th birthday. I caught his concert at Yoshi's in Oakland, California last year, where he was delivering his signature style on stage.
The living legend himself, Mr. Eddie Palmieri.
I talked with Eddie Palmieri last year about his life, his music, his sense of mission, and the joys of being a student well into your 80s. We are so delighted to have Eddie Palmieri joining us. Mr. Palmieri, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you very much, Deepa. Thank you very much in my heart.
It's such a thrill to be able to talk to you. You know, I have been a fan of yours for years, and I've just felt so lucky to be able to see you at Yoshi's when you performed in Oakland.
We left that bandstand burning, my dear.
You did such a great show, and, you know, you really bring it. And you have been playing for more than 7 decades. How does it feel when you're on the stage?
To get on the stage, I'm always nervous.
You're nervous? Eddie Palmieri is nervous?
Always, always, always. And once I sit down on the piano and I hit the first note, then it's all over.
I could tell from the minute you hit the note, I mean, you had a great band out there with you. What drives you?
But there was a trumpet player called Chocolate Amintero that he died at 92. He was the greatest Cuban folkloric trumpet player. And he taught me that after 50, you got to count by one again.
I love it. So you grew up in the Bronx in the 40s and 50s with your family from Puerto Rico. You worked as a soda jerk at your parents' luncheonette, where you loaded the jukebox with mambo songs.
I named it Mambo. I was already playing timbales with my uncle, but my mother didn't like that. I already had started playing piano. By 89, I was studying with an Afro-American teacher called Miss Margaret Barnes. She used to have her studio on the 7th floor of Carnegie Hall, and she was my brother's teacher. And my brother started professionally at 14 years old.
And let me just say that your brother, of course, is the great Charlie Palmieri.
Oh, yeah. I always say he was the pianist. I'm the piano player. He was the best brother you could have ever had. And then as I got older, he was the one that recommended me to all the different orchestras.
So he opened a lot of doors for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, one of the major places where you really got your start and made your name was at the Palladium nightclub. And
right.
That was a place that was really, you know, you came at a point where music was really merging and transforming because of who was in and around New York City then, African Americans, Cubans, Puerto Ricans, and all their music coming together.
The Palladium ballroom was packed. They were all great dancers in the orchestras that didn't excite the dancer. They never brought him back. For 10 years, the Machito, Tito Puente, and Tito Rodriguez were the orchestra. I walked into the Palladium in 1963, and I stood to 1966, and I closed it when it closed in 1966.
So there was de facto segregation in who could play in Manhattan, and you had to get police clearance to be able to enter
It was a racist situation, of course. There was a cabaret law that was imposed. There was too many blacks and Latinos playing in Manhattan. So you had to go to the police department and give them your fingerprints. There was the highest degree of racism that was happening.
So you're then part of this Afro-Caribbean, which becomes Latin jazz. How did you come to this?
Well, first of all, my love for the music that came out of Africa, okay? My brother and I inherited that. My grandmother that I told you I met in Puerto Rico, she was black. I know my rhythmical patterns like my brother. because we got it from Africa. And I joined the orchestra of Vicentico when I was 19 years of age, and there's where I learned all the Cuban orchestras through a gentleman called Manny Oquendo, percussionist. He bought me 25 78s, and I studied those records till now.
You know, I want to talk about one of your greatest hits, Azúcar Para Ti, and the Library of Congress added it to its National Recording Registry of Greatest Songs in History. Let's take a listen. I have to say, this is one of my favorite songs, Eddie, and the song broke barriers in part because it was recorded much longer than the standard 2.5 minute single at the time, and after that, so many other musicians were able to do that, and I'm wondering if this is how you earned your nickname, The Disruptor.
Well, what happened was when I want to record Azúcar, you couldn't record more than 2 minutes and 45 seconds to put 12 compositions on an LP. And my solo alone was 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow.
The record hit 9 minutes and 30 seconds, and it landed in the Library of Congress, which was a tremendous honor, and it's there forever. And I'm completely proud of that composition.
You know, Eddie, I lived in Harlem for many years. I lived close to Harlem River Drive, and I love Harlem River Drive, your band, that is. What I loved about that was the way you weaved a political undercurrent into your fusion of funk and soul and Latin jazz.
That's right. Very well done, too.
From 125th Street to a bridge called G-Dub, several shades of living from diamonds to mud.
Why was that important to you to do that?
Oh, because the tensions in the streets were so high. We had the Black Panthers, you had the Young Lords, and we were looking for a villain. And that villain is named Poverty. And poverty is the real problem that we have around the world. And Harlem River Drive was wrapped around that story.
Many people might not associate Latin jazz with some of the political struggles that you were involved in at the time of the civil rights movement, the time of the Young Lords. Why was it important to you to bring the politics into your music? Where did it come from?
That comes from me. If something's wrong and you believe that it's wrong and you have the opportunity to make a statement, then I did. I did also the one, Libertad Lógica, that's when I recorded Justice.
Is that why in your concert at Yoshi's here in Oakland, you actually talked about that? You played Libertad and you talked about the Young Lords and what they were fighting for in New York City?
Of course, of course.
Is that related to today?
Of course, because it's still here. When I'm talking about it, it isn't what was happening then. It's here, and it's getting worse every day.
And Eddie, what role does music play then in these kinds of times?
Oh, music is medicinal. I mean, music is medicinal. When I perform, at that moment, you're not thinking about whether you're going to be able to pay the rent or pay for your medicine. I just make it that I'm aware of the condition that exists so that when you're listening to my music, you know what's going on, like the tension and resistance that develops when we're playing. And that rhythm section will bring you to the highest degree of a musical climax. And that must be in every composition. So that's why I always say when I have interviews, I don't guess I'm going to excite you with my music. I know it.
And I wonder, you know, how you feel about performing. Will you continue to perform?
Oh, if I don't perform, I wilt away. What's keeping me alive is my music. I've got to get on that piano. We used to do 20 concerts in Europe in 30 days in 11 countries. I certainly cannot do that anymore. But I love what I do, and the urge to perform is constantly there more and more and more, and that makes me a very happy camper.
What do you want your legacy to be, Eddie Palmieri?
Oh, that's simple. Here lies Eddie Palmieri, a great musical student. That's what I need, a great musical student, because that leads to preparation. And preparation then leads to quality in your presentations of your recordings, which are, to me, they're all treasures. And it's very rewarding.
You've had an incredible life, Eddie. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
I've been very fortunate. I'm very blessed.
I talked with Eddie Palmieri last year. He has several dates booked in the coming new year at the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York City.